For those of you who are not familiar with Musca autumnalis, the common name is facewife, and as you can see from these two pictures, you can tell why. These flies spend their time on the face of mostly beef cattle out in the fields, and they spend their time feeding around the eyes and the nose of the cattle, and these are also associated with transmitting pathogens that can cause ocular diseases because of this feeding behavior. Just a little bit about their life cycle. It begins when female faceflies lay their eggs in fresh cattle dung. And as you can see here, this is a cross section of the pat with the eggs exposed. These long banana shaped things are the eggs, and the tips are masts where gas exchange takes place. And from the egg stage follows three larval instars. I will refer to the larvae as maggots from now on. The third instar leaves the pat to pupate in the soil, which follows the adult stage, and the cycle continues. The cycle is completed in 11 to 14 days. A little bit about the parasite, Parentonchium autumnale. These are nematode parasites. They are host specific, and they have a very complex life cycle. Initial invasion of hosts takes place in the dung by female flies that have been infected. So female face flies that are infected deposits nematodes in the dung instead of ovipositing. And following the nemoposition is the mating of the nematodes, in which the mated female nematodes enter the host, the maggot, and it will continue its development as the maggot continues its development to the adult stage. And in the adult stage, the nematode will release a sexually reproducing generation which invades the female's ovaries. And that is how she ends up laying nematodes instead of eggs. And over here is a picture of one of her ovaries with thousands of nematodes. So this is another picture to show you the difference between a non-infected face fly, in which her ovaries are filled with eggs, like these banana-shaped objects. And over here, you see that her ovaries are not filled with eggs, but they are filled with thousands of nematodes. And just another picture, if you take the cross-section of one of her infected ovaries, you would see that here, each individual round object is a nematode. So I just showed you how these nematodes cause parasitic sterilization in female flies, and that these infected flies nemoposit from pat to pat. Sometimes they are labeled terminal dung seekers. So my question here is, what is the spatial pattern of nematodes in pastures? More specifically, are they uniform? Are they clumped? And another question that I have, which I will not address today, is spatial pattern of nematodes. Are they potentially influenced by other direct effects nematodes have on the face flies, such as whether being infected makes the face flies less able to fly or reduces their longevity? So the overall objective is understand the spatial pattern of infected and healthy maggots in the field, and this can aid in evaluating the impacts that Parentonchium autumnale have on face flies. My hypothesis here is that spatial pattern of infected maggots is different or more aggregated from spatial patterns of non-infected maggots. I hypothesize this because I also hypothesize that these nematodes have a potential sublethal physiological effect on the face flies. So if these are the pats out in the field, I hypothesize that infected maggots will occur more aggregated. So I conducted this study in two locations, one at the UC Davis Beef Farm facility and the other at the Sierra Foothills Research Station. I went out into the field two times a week between May and August of this summer, and I was able to make two trips to the foothills between that time. And so what I did was, I took, because it is not feasible to take every single PAT sample back to the lab, I took, I walked transects of 7.6 meters and I collected every PAT that I came across in that transect. So I started from one end of the field and ended at the other. Every time I came across a transect, in my transect, I recorded that location with a handheld GPS. And I took a sample, a core sample of that PAT with a 10.2 diameter PVC pipe core, and I put that sample in a Tupperware, and I labeled the Tupperware with whatever labeling system I was using with the GPS. So what I did was I reared all the larvae that I collected from the PATs individually until to adulthood until death, and I recorded upon death the infection, sex, and the longevity. And I used Google Earth Plus to analyze the data that I collected with the GPS. So here is just a picture to show you the ideal versus actual. The great thing about the GPS is that they track every move that you make. The bad thing about the GPS is that they track every move that you make. So as you can see here, the field is not uniform. I came across yellow star thistle bushes. There's piles of like sludge that I don't want to walk through. And so this is kind of how it looks like. Every flag is an indication of a PAT that I collected. And so between May and August, excluding the Sierra Foothills trip, I was able to make 14 trips, and I collected a total of 303 PATs. I dissected 1,439 flies, and of those, I found 102 infected flies, which is roughly 7%. So this is just a graph to show you, well, this is for Davis, to show you how most PATs that I collected, close to 140 of them, had no flies. While this is a negative binomial distribution, where the second most, I guess, around 60 of the PATs that I collected had 1 to 5, and that decreases from there. And maybe I got maybe one PAT where I got 71 to 75 flies. Here's another graph showing a similar negative binomial distribution with the two trips that I made to the Sierra Foothills, where most of the PATs that I collected had zero flies. What I did, I used the nearest neighbor analysis to analyze the spatial pattern. So the nearest, for those of you who are not familiar, I calculated the nearest neighbor coefficient R, which is calculated by measuring the distance between each point and the point nearest to it. So for example, the flag A1 right here, I would measure the distance between A1 and A2. And so R is calculated as a ratio of the observed and expected mean nearest neighbor distance, where I calculate the average distances of the entire field and the expected distance. And so R is ranging from 0 to 2.149, where 0 indicates clustered and 2.149 indicates randomly dispersed. And so this is just a snapshot of one day where, as you can see here, that the PATs with infected face-wise are somewhat clustered. Unfortunately, this trend does not continue, because if you average all the R's for the PATs only for all the 14 days, I got around maybe close to maybe 1, which is still somewhat randomly dispersed. And here, if you compare healthy and infected flies, there is no big difference between clustered and randomly dispersed. They seem to be more towards clustered. I mean, randomly dispersed than clustered. So in summary, the current data does not conclude the hypothesis, and additional fields are required. And as I mentioned before, I'm also interested in the sublethal physiological effects that these nematodes can have on the face flies. So currently I'm conducting flight tests with collected and laboratory reared face flies, and also I'm conducting longevity study with field collected face flies. And I would like to thank the following groups, the ESA, for giving me the opportunity to come here and speak, the UC Davis Department of Entomology for funding me for this trip, the Sierra Foothills Research Center for allowing me to use their facilities, Brad Mullins for his guidance, Roger Moon for his flies, Jerry Johnson for giving me the opportunity to collect all the pets that I want, and all the members of the Lewis Lab. Thank you.
Any questions?
With the flies that you brought back in that were infested, did you ever give them an opportunity to overclass it again to see how many legs they might, or how many nematodes they might deposit?
That's a good question. The question is, of the flies that I collected, did I give them the opportunity to oviposit?
Or nemoposit?
No, I kept them in tubes individually, so I just kind of reared them. So I guess the short answer is no. Yes?
Are you trying to control for cat age or size as you're making these transects in the pasture?
Yes. So because I'm not collecting, because face flies lay their oviposit in fresh dung, I'm collecting pets that are roughly around three days old, because by day three, after day three, it's more likely that I will not find any face flies in the pets, because as I mentioned before, the maggots leave the pet to pupate in the soil. So roughly 3 days old. And in terms of the size, as long as it looks deep and fresh enough to hold maggots, I collect it.
All right, thank you.